All right. If you have your Bibles, okay, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And let's stand. We'll be reading from verse 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. We'll be reading together. All right, ready? One, two, begin. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the gathering of your people. Lord, we know nothing in this life is a mistake. Nothing is a coincidence with you. Man may think it's a coincidence, but it's not a coincidence with you. Because, Lord, you are sovereign. You see everything. Lord, you are the God of heaven and earth. You created us. And Father, everything good that you intend for us, you have put it into your plan. And so today, Lord, we do not believe that it is by coincidence that our friends and visitors are here. And also, Lord, for the many Christians that are here. Because we know and believe, Father, that you have a message for us, not just to hear someone speak, but a message that will touch the heart, a message that will change lives if we will allow you in. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this place and fill every believer as they pray and listen to your word. And that, Father, everyone who has never trusted you, have never understood how much you love them, today will be a day that they will begin to be open, their eyes will begin to open to what you have for them. So, Father, I commit this hour into your hands. Lord, you take control. I'm but your instrument, and I pray that whatever that is said will be according to your will, and that people might come, Lord, to a saving knowledge of Christ, and Christians to a higher dedication because of what you've done for us. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In the passage that we just read, the Bible says in verse 1, if you have your Bible still, it came to pass in those days. Now, those days refer to 2,000 years ago, all right? The Bible is real. The Bible is a historical book about what happened 2,000 years ago, okay? So the shepherds there, there was this guy, this emperor called Caesar Augustus, and Caesar Augustus was going to tax the world. Now, the word tax doesn't mean increase money and taxes for government to use. This word tax simply means they wanted to take a list of people. They want to have like a census, all right? In other words, okay, this province, how many people stay here? This province, how many people stay here? And so there was an edict, a letter from the emperor. I want everyone to go back to where you are and sign your name there as a register, okay? So as that was happening, Joseph and Mary also went back to their hometown, or rather to Joseph's hometown. And Joseph's hometown is Bethlehem. Okay, the hometown is Bethlehem. As this thing is happening, as everyone is going back to their different provinces, the Bible says in verse number 8, and they were in the same country. In other words, as this is happening, there were another group of people outside of Bethlehem. They were shepherds. Now, the Bible actually never say, but when you study into the scriptures, these shepherds were the outcasts of society. People who do not want, or rather people who the priests have said you are not allowed to participate in the temple rituals. They are outcasts of society. It was to these people that the first announcement of the coming Messiah into this world was made. The Bible said the angels rejoice and it, because it was good tidings of great joy. Look at verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Now, can you imagine? Last time, there was no LED light. Last night there was no street lights. Last time there were no flood lights. So the whole countryside was black. Maybe a little bit of fire here to keep the shepherds warm and give them some light. But all of a sudden, heavens opened and the angels shone brightly and the shepherds were asking, what is this? And the Bible says they were so afraid. The word so afraid means they were extremely frightened. I don't know about you, if something happened like that, I know I'm not really promoting Halloween, but you know Halloween is usually a very dark place. Suddenly something comes out, right? Right? See? Can you imagine what the shepherds felt? All of a sudden, this whole heavens brightened up with light. And what's happening, guys? The Bible said they were so afraid. In other words, they were extremely, extremely frightened. You know what's the first thing the angel said to them? Look at the Bible. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Some of you, when you get your PSLE results, were very frightened. Yes?
Oh no, which school am I going to go to?
Jeremiah does tuition, and she was telling us that her tuition, the person that she was tutoring English, 2 hours before the N-level results came out, he said, Cher, I don't know why you call it Cher, no, but Cher, teacher, I'm very frightened. I'm very frightened. You know, this world had lots of fears. We'll talk about that later. But the first thing the angel from heaven came to planet Earth, the first thing they tell the people that heard this, fear not. Did you know that the Bible contains the phrase fear not over 300 times? You know who spoke that? God did. In every situation in our life, we have a lot of fears, but God says fear not. All right? That's something for you to think about. According to the Jewish mind, the angels came to rejoice. And why? Why did they rejoice? Because the angel, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, for the Jewish mind, for the people from Israel, they know they are waiting for the Messiah. And the angels came to tell them, today the Messiah is born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Which is Christ the Lord. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, did you know that the good news is for us today as well? I want to touch on three things about why Jesus is the Savior. Because the Bible says, the angel says in verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Although the angel spoke to the Jewish shepherds, the news is not limited to Israel. It's not limited to the Jews. This good news is to all people. That's why I'm the pastor of this church, to tell you that there's good news. And I want to tell you why there's good news. There are three things. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 19, if you have in your Bibles. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 19. I'm going to fast forward 30 years from the birth of Jesus to his life. Because for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, the Bible is silent about what happened. Except for one thing, when he went to the temple when he was 12 years old. But I want to fast forward to Luke chapter 4, 30 years of his life, in verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the synagogue, which is actually a place where the Jewish people would gather to hear the word of God. Okay, kind of like this. All right, there was a pulpit in those days. The priest would open the Jewish scriptures, and the men would take turns to read. And so in Luke 6, chapter 4, verse 16, and he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want you to imagine the scene. Jesus was sitting down there. The priest took out the scroll and said, would you read? And Jesus, of course, came out, opened the scroll, and he read. And the place that he read was in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, repeated here. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Can I tell you the first good news? Jesus came. He came to offer hope. He came to offer hope. If you look at verse 18, the first thing he did was, Jesus says, "God's Spirit is on me and he has appointed me." The word anointed means he has ordained, he has appointed, he has chosen Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, it's tough to have a poor life. There are many people, they are poor in Singapore. Singapore is one of the richest countries in the world. Yes? Our COE is, the cars in Singapore are the most expensive in the world because you pay $50,000 for a piece of paper only. And then you may get the car afterwards if you have enough money. But you know, many people are poor. The poor people have a sad past, a gloomy present, and a dark future. They have nothing to look forward to. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing God says, I'm here to offer hope to the poor. Then to the brokenhearted. These people who are brokenhearted may be crushed by things of life. Things that may have happened to them and their hearts are broken. Well, it's not just relationships, okay? It could be other things that may crush someone inside. I think some of you know what I mean. Situations in life may crush and they lost hope. The Lord Jesus Christ also came to set the captives free. Some of us have a past. Some of us have a past that we have never broken free from. Some of us have things that we've done in the past and we kick ourselves today and say, "God, why?" And we're always held back by the past. It's kind of like chains on our legs that when we try to move, the chains pull us back. Jesus came to offer hope to the captives trapped by their sinful past, struggling in the present to get free so they can live a more abundant life. To those who are blind, the blind. You know, blind can be classified into four areas. Number one, the physically blind. And it's very hard to imagine yourself without sight. It's very hard for me. I think you're already weary. Pastor, will you fall down? You know, it's said to be blind, number one. Number two, you know, to be mentally blind. You see, but you don't see. You hear, but you don't hear. So some of you have heard the gospel so many times, but it doesn't seem to get through to you. You're mentally blind. You don't understand. You see, but you don't see. And then some are morally blind. What do I mean by morally blind? They involve themselves in drinking and think it's okay. They get themselves in immorality and they think it's okay. They play with drugs and they think it's okay. And they throw away their lives and think it's okay. During the youth camp, we have a group of people who attended the youth camp. To them, smoking is nothing. To them, staying out late is nothing. They're not blind, they're morally blind. Morally blind. But you know, the worst blindness of all is spiritual blindness. They did not know that their sin has so trapped them that if they leave this world, they go straight to a place called the lake of fire. They're spiritually blind. Some of you have relatives like that. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ came to recover the sight to the blind. And then those who are bruised, to free those that are bruised by life. Can I say this? Many of us, not all, but most of us here have quite a good life. Some of you have enough finances to go for holidays. How many of you don't have a fridge at home? Do you know that you're rich? Did you know you're rich? How many of you don't have a fan at home? If you don't have a fan by choice, that's a different thing, But you know, how many of you don't have a fan at home? Most of us have air conditioning. In fact, some of us have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do you know that we're very rich? Well, our situations in life are rich. We've never experienced real poverty. But some people are really bruised by life. They are bruised by people. They're bruised by people. People who say things, do things. And you find, Lord, there's some in the youth camp say, why is life so unfair? They're bruised by life. Some people are bruised by sickness. Sometimes they go through life with the kind of sickness. You know, in all these situations, do you know what people do when they cannot stand this anymore? What do people do when they cannot take this? Because I don't want to be poor all the time. I don't have a future. I'm so brokenhearted. I'm trapped. I'm blind. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have no direction. I'm being bruised. You know what they do? They kill themselves. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ came to offer hope. He came to offer hope. Now, in this situation, the heart is changed. It's enclosed. It seems like a hopeless situation and people lose hope. How does the Lord Jesus Christ offer hope? He offers it in two ways. Number one, He offers it by going through what we are going through. If you are going through a hard time, may I say this, the Lord Jesus Christ has already gone through one of the worst sufferings in this world. The Bible says, though He was Son, yet learned He obedience through the things He suffered. Make no mistake, God may be God, but He allowed Himself to come out to earth to actually go through exactly the type of sufferings we go through. It may not be exactly the same, but the emotional pain, the trauma, the heartaches Jesus experienced. Hey, what about being betrayed by your best friend? Betrayed by someone who said, I will die for you. That's Apostle Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ had to face that. You know, when Jesus had 12, in fact, when Jesus was blessing everyone was with Him, right? When He died alone. The Bible says all have forsaken Him. The Lord Jesus Christ went through the things of this life. You know why? The Bible says, for we have not an high priest. High priest is Jesus, who is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. How many of you would say sometimes in certain situations you are very weak? And you feel that people don't understand you. You know what Jesus understands? Because the Bible says, you read the scriptures clearly, this high priest is not only touched with our weaknesses, that's sympathy. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, He don't only know what you go through, He knows how you feel when you go through. That's our God. And you know what? In order for everyone to know that He knows, He came down to suffer it with us. He came down to suffer it with us. Number one, how does the Lord actually offer hope? By telling you, I went through exactly what you've gone through. The pain in your heart, Jesus can feel. I'm going to switch a little bit. I want to talk about the situation in Singapore with regards to this particular situation of suicide. Suicide is the leading cause of death for those aged 10 to 29. There are 2.5 times more death from suicide than transport accident in 2017. When I read that, my eyes popped out. 361 lives were lost to suicide 2017, almost one every day. Almost one every day, people came to a point of losing hope that they would take their own lives. Males account for more than 66.2% of all suicides. For every suicide, at least 6 suicide survivors are left behind. Now, what are the risk factors? Previous attempts to kill themselves, mental health conditions. Mental health conditions, the Bible says God had come to set the people free. Serious or chronic health conditions, distressing life events, prolonged stress factors. This is taken from the Samaritans of Singapore. But you know what they say? More often than not, individuals don't want to end their lives. They just want to get out of the overwhelming or painful situation they are in. But they can't do it alone. You know how the second thing Jesus Christ offers hope? If you are a believer in Christ, the Lord Jesus offers hope through you. Because if you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ in forgiving your sin and set you on the path to heaven, the Lord wants you to then go and help someone else. Youth, do you know why we go all out to get you in? Some of you are going to face the tragedies of life. And know who you're going to call? Your youth leaders who love you and sacrifice so much in the youth camp for you. I can vouch for everyone They sacrifice so much time and sleepless nights praying and weeping because they love you. You know how Jesus Christ offers hope to this world? Some of you are here today because someone cared enough to bring you here. Because if you do not hear that Jesus Christ, you know, your friend is just an instrument. That's all they can do. We can't change the heart. God can. But you know, if I'm not a doctor, I can bring you to the doctor. Yes? Do you agree with me? If I'm not a doctor, I can bring you to someone who can actually help you. You know what Jesus told us? He says, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. The first thing Jesus offers is peace. Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. The Lord Jesus Christ went through heartache in order to win people to Christ. Christians, this Christmas, your gift to our Savior is to be like Him. You know what will give the greatest joy to our Savior? A sinner coming to Christ. Amen? A sinner coming to Jesus Christ. You know, we can give our offering, we can give our service, but you know what? The Lord Jesus yearns for someone to come to Him in faith so that He can change that person's life. In Luke chapter 15, you don't have to turn there. There were three parables. Number one, the parable of the lost sheep. Number two, the parable of the lost coin. Number three, the parable of the lost son. And in all those situations, Jesus said there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that turns to Christ. Christians, we are in the business of reaching people for Christ. The Lord Jesus offers hope through us. It is through us, number one. Number two, Jesus came to show us how to love. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus offers hope for us. Number two, He came to teach us how to love. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the Bible says, verse 43, ye have heard that he has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Isn't that what's happening all the time? Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Wow, that person are very bad. I think if you stay away from him, man. Wow, that guy. Wow, you mean that guy betray you? I think I don't hang out with him. You know? Wow, the guy scold you this. No good, man. I think you should keep away from him. Wow, that person so nice to you. Wow, I think you... Let's spend more time with him, you know. Love your neighbors, hate your enemy. That was what was taught. In fact, that was exactly what, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is telling them, this is what your religious leaders teach you. He was talking to the Jewish people and said, this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees teach you. Love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Have you got any enemies? You know what Jesus says? Love your enemies. What? Love your enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven not to preach a religion. He comes to change lives. And a changed life will love an enemy. When Jesus taught love your enemies, many of them said, no way I'm going to love the Roman soldiers. They were the one who killed my mother. They were the one who took away our house. They were the one who steal. How can in the world are you going to ask me to love someone like that? How many of you have had people did wrong to you and you cannot forget? Jesus came to teach us how to love. You know why? Because once, when we had the sinful nature in our hearts when we were born, it's very hard for humans to love in the right way. We tend to just love those who love us, agree? It's easier to love those who love us. The Lord Jesus Christ taught them, 44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That you might be the children. Loving Christians. You know, sometimes we have problems, Christians have problems loving Christians. You know what God wants us to love? Love those people who blow smoke into your face. Those people who curse you. Those people whom you cannot stand because of the way they live. And something is very easy to actually love someone who is very nice and prim and proper. But it's very hard for someone to love or rather very hard for you to love someone whom you say, whoa, I don't think I can hang out with these guys. Believers in Christ, do you only love people we can accept? Talking to Christians, or if they behave in a certain way, then we will need to obey our Savior. We will never reach the world if we only stay in our comfort zone. We will never reach the world if we only stay in our comfort zone. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 16, which is the next passage, which is over there. Oh, he came us to show us how to love. Okay, these are some of the pictures I've kind of, people who are poor. The first one is they are gangsters, people who smoke, people who score vulgarities, people who are rebellious. In Mark chapter 2, this is what Jesus taught. In Mark chapter 2, the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners. They said unto his disciples, how is it that he, your master, eateth and drinketh with publicans? When Jesus heard it, I don't know about you, I believe Jesus was very sad. Because then he had to teach the people, if you are whole, you don't need a physician. The reason why they are like that is because they are so sick, they cannot even see their sickness. Christians, are we listening? Are we opening our eyes to the fact that this world is so sick? And when Jesus heard it, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what that means? Two things. Number one, Jesus can identify those people who are actually sick with the disease of sin in their lives, and he wants to reach them. But number two, in this phrase, Jesus says, I'm not come to call the righteous. If you are sitting here and say, I don't need Jesus Christ, then Jesus says, then you're whole, I can't reach you. My father-in-law was apparently diagnosed with prostate cancer many, many years ago, and he refused to go for radiotherapy. That can help. Simply because he believed hospitals only want money. Well, not quite. And so, because my father-in-law, it's just interesting, this Chinese consultant, my father-in-law can't speak English, and this consultant cannot speak Chinese. And so I was left to mediate. And so my father-in-law kept looking at me. Of course, he was kind of cursing and swearing, you're wasting my time, I don't want to sell money. But then finally, I managed to convince him. You know, my father-in-law didn't want the radiotherapy, my father-in-law would never be cured. And because I was able to mediate, and not that I'm great, it's just that I said, Father, why don't you just try, just try it. And it's quite, apparently radiotherapy is only 10 minutes. He traveled 1.5 hours from Tampines to SGH, go back, and only for 10 minutes of radiotherapy, just 10 minutes. But he has to go on for 5 weeks. You know what happened? He got cured. What if he didn't want to? You know, the doctor would say, if you don't want the treatment, then there's nothing I can do. It comes to a time that sometimes when we are face to face with this kind of decisions, whether should I love this person, or rather, should I come to Christ or not? You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ can do nothing for the person who don't want to come to him. And there is no excuse or reason you can give under heaven. Because Jesus Christ has done everything, which I'll touch on the next point. But Jesus here is saying, I didn't come to call the righteous. Christians, Jesus didn't come to call someone who is very nice and easy to talk to. Jesus was persecuted and he was killed by people who claim to hail him. Remember when Jesus walked into Jerusalem? Everyone, hail! Hosanna! And everyone was welcoming him. 1 week later, they said, kill him. Jesus came for them. Jesus sat and ate with sinners and publicans. And I believe this Christmas, if the Lord wants us to change our mind about our outreach, I'm sure we have our family, our families and our friends, we need to reach them. But you know what? There's a world that is so sick. We need to reach them as well. One final point in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Let me just read. And he shall call. Firstly, Jesus came to offer hope. Number two, Jesus came to teach us how to love. But number three, Jesus came. In Matthew chapter 1, 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 9 months before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, this message was given by angel Gabriel to Joseph. because Joseph wanted to put away his wife. Angel Gabriel came to him on the night that he was struggling. Should I put Mary away? You know, the Bible says Joseph was an upright man. Joseph loved Mary. Their relationship was tight because both of them were righteous. They loved God. But at that time, Mary was with child and Joseph was saying, hey, I didn't touch you, you know. You must have done something wrong. Matthew chapter 1. And Joseph was struggling in his mind and saying, what am I supposed to do? If I put her away, everyone knows that she probably committed adultery and she will be killed. Because adultery in those days were death by stoning. But you know, Joseph's love was so great for Mary, but his heart towards God was righteous. Say, God, what am I going to do? That's when God come in. When you are struggling with a decision, the trend of your spiritual life will guide you in the right way. Joseph and Mary were righteous. Joseph was faced with a devastating decision. If I put Mary away publicly, she will be stoned to death. What am I supposed to do? But if I accept her, then am I compromising? All these things. But when you will live for God, because Joseph's life was righteous, God intervened. Christians, are you listening? Sometimes we may go through difficulties in our life. We don't know the answer. God does. Amen? He does. It's our job to pause all activity. Because Joseph could have got angry at Mary and kicked her out straight. Says, no, God, what is your will? And he was struggling, he was tossing and turning. That's when God came. And at that particular point of time, the angel told Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Because this child will save people from their sin. The third thing that Jesus Christ came was he came to deal with, sorry for English, came to deal with our sinfulness. To deal with our sinfulness. Did you know? The fights, the conflicts, the divorce, the disobedience to parents and authority, the drug abuse, the immorality, and any type of sin that you can find in this world, you know what's the root cause? Sin. Sin is the root cause. It's the root cause. Conflict, the Bible says that by pride cometh contention. The reason why there is fight in the family and conflicts, getting very close to home now, all of us have experienced that. The reason why there is conflict is because of sin. And Bible says pride is that sin. Did you know that the P-R-I-D-E, you know what's the center letter of pride? I. Youth, I think you all know what I'm talking about. Because in the youth camp, we talk about the mystery of iniquity. Because Satan in heaven, when Satan wasn't in heaven, Satan was Lucifer, his name is Lucifer. When God created Lucifer, he was the most beautiful angel in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28. When he was created, Lucifer then looked at God and said, I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. In other words, Lucifer wasn't satisfied with just being an angel. He wanted to be like God. And isn't it true? All of us want control. All of us want control. I want to control my life. I want to control my career. I want to control my time. I want to control my finances. I want... It's sin, guys. It's all about me. I, me, and myself, the unholy trinity. You know, it's all about me. I. Fights. Why? You know, I was talking to a youth and he said, just because he looked at why? You look at me for a fight. Why? Why can't we stand one another? It's because of pride. Divorce. Why? Why does that happen? You know, why does that happen? Because of pride. I can't. At the marriage ceremony, it's supposed to be till death do us part. You know, I think they've changed that till love do us part. But I don't feel I love the person anymore. I just leave. No, the Bible still says, did you know that as far as God is concerned, it's till death do us part. Because God recognizes marriage, whether you're a Christian or not. Because it's a sacred institution God set in place for the happiness of man. Did you know that? You know what? Let's put it this way. If you buy a television set and you operate it according to the manual, the television set can last you a long time. But when we don't and anyhow press, you probably have to call the repairman. You know, God created marriage for the blessing of men and women. But you know, sadly, many people don't play by God's rules. That's why there's so many broken. It's sin. Because the Bible says sin is a transgression of law. Sin means God says this way, and you say, I'm going this way. And that's why the more we go away from the right, we go further and further away from God. How did Jesus come to deal with that? Number one, by dying on our behalf. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Do you know why all of us have to die? Do you know why all of us have to die? You know, during the youth camp, many of you, do you know Ambassador Baptist Church was in the newspapers? Amen? On Thursday, okay? We're in the Straits Times, okay? But not a big thing. Just basically, what happened was just outside of our campsite, there was, remember on Thursday, it was a heavy rain, and then the two trees from Sembawang Park fell and crashed onto a shelter, and underneath the shelter was 12 to 14 people who were taking refuge. All 14 of them were taking to Khoo Teck Puat Hospital. What if you were underneath that shelter? And that was such a wonderful, that was such a timely illustration, because the wages of sin is death. We don't think that we have all the time we want. The wages of sin is death. All of us will die someday. But you know what? When we die, the next part, the Bible says, for it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. If death is for all men, all of us will be judged for our sin. You know what Jesus did? The Bible says in Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, this is something which we have to understand. You and I are going to die. You know? We are not going to escape that. This is one appointment that we are not going to miss. You cannot cancel the appointment. You can't. We will all die one day. But I want to tell you that death, once again, there's fear. We don't know the unknown. We don't know the unknown. We don't know the unknown. And so many people are fearful of death. They are fearful of death. So how do we overcome that? The Lord Jesus Christ, in three parts, I'll tell you firstly, He died on our behalf. He died on our behalf. That's what the Bible means, okay? Because He's got to deal with sin. Sin brings death. So Jesus must die on our behalf. All right? That's not the end. Number two, He died and He shed His blood. The Bible says almost all things by the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is there's no forgiveness of sin. The word remission means forgiveness. When Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Okay? After the whole episode in Genesis 3, God actually killed a lamb, took and made coats of skin for them. Where do you think the coats of skin came from? The lamb that was killed. In Genesis chapter 3, God gave the picture of salvation, the innocent dying for the guilty. The lamb had nothing to do with the sin of Adam and Eve. But God, in order to provide coverage, by the way, dressing standards, the coats of skin means here, during the Hebrew times, all the way to here. That's why you find in some of the Middle Eastern countries, they really dress and cover everything. Because in the Hebrew, they have been taught that this is the dressing standard. But you know, how do they get coats of skin from here to here? A lamb has to be killed. Did you know that when God created Adam and Eve, there was no death? Death came in because of sin. For the first time in Adam and Eve's life, they saw an animal killed. Have you ever seen a lamb being killed? Myself, I told my son and someone else, we were at Sembawang. Remember, in the end of Sembawang, there's this mosque at the end. And it was, I think, during one of the Hari Raya Hajj. And they had lots of goats and sheep over there. And we were so curious. So something is happening. We went there. And when I saw how they killed the goat, they would put the goat's head, the drain would be here, they put a goat's head, and they'll start chanting their prayer, and they have to kill the goat with one slit. And the parang is there, and they will, and when it opened, it's like, you know how you open a tap and the water gush out? And the whole drain is filled with blood. The whole drain was filled with blood. The Lord Jesus, God gave a picture of that. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God hates sin? In the New Testament too. God is so holy, He will not allow sin into His presence. But because of His great love for His people, He said, look, I'm going to make you a deal. Every year, I'll need you to have a lamb that was slain, and the blood that was slain, or rather the blood that was shed, I will accept it as sacrifice. Some people say, well, God is very bloody. No. How many of you would agree with me? There is life in the blood. You know why we do blood transfusion? Because God made blood to be the symbol of life. And that if someone would be willing to sacrifice his life for the guilty, the blood will be accepted as life for the other person. And so year by year, the Israelites would take lamb. Can you imagine? One lamb for every family. And sometimes they will have as much as 200,000 sheep. I don't know where they get the time to kill so many. They have to kill for every family. And you know, when you bring a sheep to atone for your sin, you bring your own sheep. You have to bring your sheep and you have to put it before the priests. And you've got to kill the sheep yourself. Knowing that this is the sheep that took away all your sin. Every single year, the Jewish people will go through that. That's why sin is such a dreadful thing, because they know someone's got to die because of sin. When Jesus Christ came, John pointed to Jesus and behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Once and for all, this is a Lamb that God has provided, that if anyone will put faith in Jesus Christ, he no longer has to bring the sheep to atone for your sins anymore. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take our place, die for our sin, the blood that was shed, the Bible says, with the shedding of blood, God recognizes that as the innocent dying for the guilty, and if we accept that sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. Because remember, sin is the problem. Remember, sin is the problem. Dear friends, the gospel is not about going to heaven. The gospel is about having our sin dealt with. It's having the fact that some of you young people would disobey your parents when your parents said no. You know why? That's sin. How do you change that? When you realize our sinfulness before God and realize Jesus Christ has paid for that. God, I can't save myself. Only you can. I put my faith in you. Cleanse my heart from my sin. But you know, there's one more thing Jesus did by his resurrection. How did Jesus deal with sin? Firstly, he had to die because our whole body is sinful. Jesus was without sin. And then after his blood was shed to forgive us our sin. But you know, if he died and stayed in the grave, he's a useless savior. That means death still won. Agree? That means death still won. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we place faith, belief on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. When Jesus Christ died on that day, he didn't die for his own sin. He had no sin. He died for your sin and my sin. Oh, if you are here today and you're listening to this for the first time, I don't know about you, do you wonder at the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the gospel? That God is willing to die for sinners and paid the complete price for everyone that ever lived. Some people may ask, Brother Johnny, then how does Jesus pay for sins that are past, present, and future? You know how Jesus did that? Number one, He is infinite God. He is infinite God. an only an infinite God who lived an infinitely perfect life is able to die an infinite number of deaths and forgive an infinite number of sins to save an infinite number of people. He is God. But he allowed himself to be trapped by human nature or the human skin in order to go to the cross. And when Jesus said it is finished, he paid it all. But you know what? If Jesus stayed in the grave, he's a useless savior. I've got news for you. He rose from the dead. You know what it means to rise from the dead? Death is the final pain that everyone will have to go through. The pain of someone dying. You know, one day my family is going to go through that. Your family is going to go through that. One day death will face everyone. But you know, as a Christian, when we sing, one day we will see each other again. You know, that is something that gives hope. And it's a real hope. Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't just die. He died for us and rose from the dead. That's what the Bible says. And through all this, can I say this, and Brother Johnny? Yeah, okay, I believe that, but you know, I still got my problems. I'm not finished yet. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. If you will continue in your sin, you will continue in the pathway of the evil one, the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning, listen to the rest of the verse. For this purpose, that's the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you cannot control your lying, Jesus Christ can help you. If you cannot control your disobedience to your parents, Jesus Christ can help you. You know why? Because he's going to change your heart when you would surrender your sin. When you would surrender your sin. If you have a gun in your hand, you want to kill someone, the only way to stop you is to take the gun out of your hand. Yes? And allow that person to hold your hands. There are many people who struggle with drugs, with different things, if only they would surrender their heart to Christ. You see, that is where it all starts. You know, you can come to church. I told the youth, you know, the devil comes to church too. Or Satan comes to church every Sunday. He is very faithful. He comes to make us fall asleep. He comes to get us to Google so that we can be distracted from the message. He comes to there was one picture I heard whereby he got someone to go and pinch a baby and it make a lot of noise and distracts everyone. Satan comes to church. Because coming to church don't change you. I have said this before. You don't go to the airport and become an aeroplane. Right? So in the same way, you don't come to church and become a Christian. You can't. Because Christianity changes the heart. You know why are we sometimes year after year the same? Because we have never changed our hearts. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in external change. He's not interested in external change. In Luke chapter 19, when a cheat, a tax collector, Zacchaeus came, or he was the chief, and he would cheat people of money, and he would work for the Romans, he's a Jew. But when he met Jesus, you know what he did? He told Jesus, Lord, half of my savings I give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'll pay that back the person four times. You know what that is? Change. Change. There was a woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. And he was caught and placed before Jesus. And she knows that the law required this adulterer to be stoned to death. Oh, I want us to understand, you may come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Did you know one thing? The Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, there's hope for me then. I told the youth, I sin more than them. You know why? They live until 17, 18, 19 years old. I live 50 years old. So 50 times, let's say one sin per year. Oh, sorry, five sins per year. I will sin 250 times. They will sin much less. So I'm a great sinner. But you know what? Jesus Christ is such a great Savior that he can even save me. You know, there's no sin on planet Earth Jesus cannot forgive. Only one, when you reject him. The sin of unbelief. Jesus came to deal with sin. You know what? Jesus can destroy the works of the devil in your life. You want your families to be put together? There's only one person in this whole wide universe that can put your family together, and that's Jesus Christ. The reason my family is still together is because of Jesus Christ. Oh, we have our problems as pastor's family. We do. All kinds of problems. Every problem you experience, I experience. Because we're all humans. There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everyone faces the same test. But you know what's the rest of the verse? God is faithful. You see, God is faithful. Even in the conflicts of family, God is still waiting. Won't you allow me to help you? Or won't you allow dad? Won't you allow me to help you? Mom, won't you allow me to help you? Children, won't you allow me to help you? There is hope. Because in Christ is always hope. In Christ is always hope. As we finished, in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son will make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I don't know about you, my family, I think, you know, finances is a very big thing in this in Singapore. I was joking with my children, I think you have more savings than me. But you know what? We don't live for money. Oh, we need money to survive and pay bills and all that. But that's not the key. Because we can be trapped. You know, it's not only the rich people want more money, the poor people also want more money. Right? But you know, we can get trapped in this self-chasing of things in this world. God wants to set us free. Some of you may have burdens in your heart or past that you cannot let go. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know how he's going to deal with that? If you would allow him to come in to your heart, confessing your sins to him, turning away from sin. Because the reason why we're holding on to, because I want justice, right? It's all I. It's I. You know why some of us are always angry? Always easy to go into conflict. Why? Because of I. I want control. You know, Jesus could have fought back. I'll just say one more thing. You know, Jesus Christ, on the day he was betrayed, the soldiers came to him. And they said, why do you come with a band of soldiers right now? Don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels? One legion is 6,000 soldiers. And he is telling these 600 soldiers, don't you think I can call at one shot 72,000 angels and wipe out Jerusalem? But I'm not going to do that. You know why? I'm not going to do that. How then should the scriptures be fulfilled? Did you know that Jesus could have fought back? But because he loved you and me, he knew he had to go to the cross. He knew he had to be ridiculed. He knew he had to be crucified and die a horrible death. Did you know that when he was at the cross, the Bible said he was hardly recognizable as a human being? But you know why he did it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you may say, I don't believe that. Did you know that even if you don't believe that, Jesus Christ has already paid your price? Even if you don't want to come for dinner, Jesus has already paid the fees for you. It's for us to come to him. And I told the youth, if you don't come to Jesus Christ, what else do you want him to do? He's already given his life. As we close, are you trapped in your situation? Do you realize the sin is all because of the sinfulness of our hearts? Can I encourage you? Will you come confessing your sin that caused all this? For those who come confessing your sins, the Bible says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God is an inviting God. Christians, are you offering hope to others? Loving the way Jesus loves and bringing good tidings to people. Let's close in our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your will to be done in the lives of these people. Father, we just be singing the song, Born to Die. I pray, Father, that you will help all of us to reflect on this message. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't just come. He came as a savior of this world. For anyone who would turn to him, the one that he came to offer hope, he came to teach us how to love, he came to deal with sin. Father, I pray that whoever that you are touching, I pray that they would be willing, Lord, to pursue this. Lord, I pray that if you are opening the hearts of some of these people, I pray that the light that is shown into their hearts, you will continue to guide them, that they might find complete freedom in Christ. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.